Morning, guys.
Morning.
A little better than that. How are you guys doing this morning?
Good.
We need to be excited, right? There's a lot going on, a lot to learn, a lot of good speakers here. We're blessed to be here. Thank you guys for sitting in this morning. Man, I was so surprised of how many current coaching clients of mine are in this room and people that see us. How many of you guys are either a client of ours or have seen Rachel and I speak again? Raise your hand. Wow, that's like a third or fourth of the room. Awesome, good. Well, I hope I won't bore you guys. You guys have probably heard a bit of this before, but for the rest of you, Rachel and I are here because real estate has changed our lives. Real estate is something that has bought us freedom. You know, I'm going to tell a little bit of my story here in a bit, but, you know, I didn't come here today to teach you guys how to trade a job for a job. Rachel and I have specialized in the last 10 years of taking people out of corporate America, taking people out of their full-time gig, and doubling or tripling their income with real estate investing in a fraction of the time. That's really what we do. And, you know, I had one of my first mentors in real estate. You know, he was really preaching on, you need to have a vision. You need to know what you want your life to look like. And I was kind of like, yeah, I just need to learn how to make money, man. I'll listen to that vision stuff later, you know. But what it really did is it caused me for the first time in my life to focus on what mattered the most. You know, I grew up, and from a young age, my dad kind of beat into me that your job as a man is to work and provide. That's what you do. And so I got up early. I was at the office at 5:30 in the morning, and I left at 10 or 11 o'clock at night most nights. And if you would have asked me why I was doing it, I would have told you it was for, you know, it was for admirable reasons. It was for to take care of my family. It was to be able to pay for things for them, to go on nice vacations and do things for others. It wasn't even for me. But what was really, you know, what do they really want more than anything is your time. And so there's no shortage of speakers here that are going to teach you how to do real estate investing. And I'm going to teach you how to do some really cool real estate investing stuff. But what I want to teach you how to do more than anything is run a business that pays you a lot of money and a little bit of time so that you can have life now. You know, I subscribe to this. If I work really, really hard, then someday I can have this great life. And I was building down that path, right? I was on my way there. And then 2007 hit. And from 2007 to 2010, it stripped away everything that I had worked so hard for that previous 10 years. And so I want to show you how to do that right now. You know, life can change really, really quick when you can add an extra $200,000 or $300,000 a year to your bottom line. So I want to show you guys how to do that. And in my opinion, you know, Rachel and I coach some of the top real estate investors in the country now. And what I see, you know, I hear people saying it's a hard market to find deals in, or it's super competitive, or you don't know, my market's, you know, more competitive, all these excuses, all these different things. But yet I have an entire mastermind of group of investors that are having their best years ever, their most profitable years ever. So how does that happen? Well, in my opinion, it happens because they've become excellent marketers. You know, we think of ourselves as real estate investors. I want you to think about yourself as a real estate marketer. The person who finds the motivated sellers that everyone else isn't finding wins, right? I mean, it's a bidding game when you're competing against 16 other investors, right? I mean, a lot of times the seller's looking for the highest offer. Not always, but when you're dealing with 16 other investors competing against a property, it is going to be hard. What I want to teach you guys how to do, and what we've done for the last 10 years, 400-plus house flips that we've done, is we get in front of sellers that the rest of our competition isn't getting in front of. And that's what I want to show you guys how to do. Fair enough? Is that good with you? All right. Sorry, my ears are a little, and these things fall off all the time. So why are you guys here today? Why'd you come to hear Rachel and I talk?
Fun.
It's fun? I'm doing good. What's that? Looking for success. What else? Why are you guys in here? No idea what you're doing, so you want to learn? Well, that's honest, right? We all had to start somewhere. What else?
Marketing,
right? You want to get more deals. Why do we want more deals? What changes when we get more deals? More money, right? Edwin, more money. What happens when we get more money? Why do we want more money?
Freedom.
Thank you, right? That's what it boils down to. When you level it down a whole bunch of layers deep, what everybody in this room is really searching for is a higher level of freedom in your life, financial freedom, time freedom, freedom to live, freedom to travel, freedom to do what we want to do when we want to do it, right? And so that's what I really want to drill down is exactly that. One thing I want you guys to do before I get started is I want you to write down, if you're taking notes, I hope you guys are taking notes. I'm going to share some million-dollar ideas this morning. I hope you guys listen to them. I've made a lot of people multimillionaires from real estate investing, and that's not a brag, that's reality, so I hope that you guys get some nuggets out of that. I want you guys to write down, how much money do you want your real estate investing business to pay you over the next 12 months? How much money do you want to pay you out of the next 12 months? You get from the world what you ask of it. A lot of people don't ever get to where they're trying to go because they have no plan to get there. So I want you to write down how much money you want to make in the next 12 months. And I'm not here to say what's right or wrong. Some of the people in this room are going to write down $1 million. Fine. Some of you are going to write down $100,000 because that would change your life in a big way. I'm not here to tell you what's right or wrong. I'm just here to understand what you're trying to do. I coach real estate investors that have never, ever done a deal before in their entire life. And I coach guys that are doing 20 or 30 flips a month. Doesn't matter to me. I'm not here to say which one is right or wrong. I'm just here to help you design a plan that meets your needs, right? Because the business plan that gets you to 20 closings a month is a different business plan that gets you to 2 closings a month. Yes? You guys with me on that? So I want you to understand that so that I can give you what's right for you. All right? And then I want you to just take a second. I had you write down how much money you want the business to pay you in the next 12 months. I want you to take a second, and I want you to write down how would life change if that actually came to fruition. If that number actually came in, if we were to help you actually earn that number, how would life change? Because see, here's the thing. Money by itself isn't typically a big enough motivator to get you to take action. I want you to write this down. 80% of success in anything, in your marriage, in your business, in losing weight, in anything, is psychological, and 20% is mechanics. You all came here this morning because you wanted to learn mechanics, but it's really probably not your mechanics that are messed up. Mechanics will help us get there 10 years faster, but it's what's going on up in here. It's when I get home at night after kids' soccer practice and I worked all day at my full-time job and I know I need to make some outbound calls to sellers and I say, you know what, I just don't feel like it today, I'll do it tomorrow. That's where we slip, right? That's where we lose. And so I want to help you guys create an environment where you can actually get the results that you want to get. And part of that is having something that pulls you towards it instead of having to push yourself to it. Does that make sense? Something that pulls you towards it. And it's got to be more than money. Money by itself isn't a big enough motivator for us. It's got to be something bigger. It's got to be a why. It's got to be your family. It's got to be that freedom. It's got to be really understanding what that looks like so that when you wake up in the morning, you're excited to go after that and you don't feel like it's a chore or a job. When we feel like it's a chore or a job, we don't want to do it. All right? There's a couple of seats open, guys, if you want to try to find a spot. All right. Next thing I want to give you is what I call the 3 universal laws of success. I'm going to talk about real estate stuff, but again, in my last 10 years of helping people become extremely successful in real estate investing, what I found is there's no shortage of speakers that are teaching you how to do real estate investing stuff. Yet, why do so many people fail? If there's all these great educators and great teachers, why do so many people still not get the results they're trying to get? And in my opinion, it's because everybody's teaching how to do real estate investing, but very few people are teaching how to run a successful, profitable business. And most of us have never had that education. For those of you that have spent time in corporate America or you work a 9-to-5 job, how many of you guys in here work a full-time job, just so I can see? Wow. 3/4 of the room. So we don't learn these things, right? And so when we go to open up our own business, we assign ourselves every single job that there is to do in the business, but at the company you work for, you don't do every single job probably, right? You probably work in a department. And the HR department doesn't typically do sales stuff, and the sales department doesn't typically do marketing stuff. But for whatever reason, when we open a business, we assign ourselves all of those jobs, and that's why we fail, because no one person is good at all those things, right? There are things that I'm really, really good at, and there's things that I'm absolutely terrible at, and I know that. And that's why Rachel, myself, and Sarah and our team, we try to keep ourselves in our lanes where we're good, and we put somebody else in the spot where we're not. Does that make sense? And so we have to build businesses in the same way. Otherwise, we never get traction. We never get off the ground. Things never work. I've helped so many people to figure this out. You know, if you're not naturally decent at sales, and you put yourself in the sales position in your real estate investing business, you're going to fail, right? We're going to fail. Either we need to improve our skills or we need to put somebody better in that spot. So I want to give you what I call the 3 universal laws of success for business. And really, I think you could apply them to life or your marriage or anything else, but for business. And this is something that when I got wiped out, I looked back at my success, and I think success is duplicatable. I think the number one way, I don't have a college education. I came from a crappy farm town in Troy, Missouri. I came from an environment that was very poor and drugs and alcohol and a lot of bad things. There's no reason that I should be up here teaching you guys today. And the reality of that story is my partner Rachel and I will make $8 million this year in real estate investing. Already down. Thank you. Yeah, thank you, right? I've got no reason to be here other than to share with you guys what has absolutely changed my life, and I hope that it impacts upon you to do the same with yours. I didn't have this professional education, I didn't have this business degree or anything else, but I have always studied success from a young age, and I believe that it's duplicatable. I believe that if you want to be a professional bodybuilder and you seek out somebody who's won a national championship 10 or 15 times and you duplicate exactly what they do on a daily basis. How long do they sleep? What do they eat? How often do they work out? What exercises do they do when they work out? You can get very similar results. And that's how I've built every business that Rachel and I have built over the last 21 years. 21 years we've been entrepreneurs now, since the time I was 21 years old. Kind of dates me a little bit. But I want to give you what I found they all have in common. So if you can duplicate these things, you can have the same success. The number one thing that I found that all of these super successful businesses have in common, and all the businesses that I've built have in common, is they all have a recipe or a blueprint. They all have a recipe or a blueprint for what their business does on a daily basis. Does that make sense? What do I mean by blueprint? Processes, right? What even deeper than processes? Systems, right? What else? Like an operating plan. What does my business need to do on a daily basis? What does my business need to do every minute of every hour of every day in order to achieve the desired result? Does that make sense? If we don't have that recipe or blueprint, we're just guessing at it, right? It's not a game. If I want to be a national championship bodybuilder, I need to know what to eat, what time to eat it, how many exercises to do, how often to do. I need to have a very detailed blueprint in order to get that. Does that resonate with you guys? We have to have the same for our real estate investing business. So if you don't have that, where do you get it? You copy somebody else. You copy somebody else that's getting the result that you want, right? So when Rachel and I were wiped out, and we had never done real estate investing before in our lives, we went to this 4-day short sale wealth boot camp. For those of you guys that know me, you know whose boot camp that was. It was my very first mentor, Sean McCloskey. And we went to a 4-day event. I never met him before in my life, never done a real estate investing deal ever before in my life. And we went and sat there for 4 days, and we left with hundreds of pages of notes. And what I left with was his blueprint to how he had already done 300 or 400 deals. And I took his blueprint, and we went back to our office, and we implemented it exactly how he suggested. And our very first year, we closed 111 deals. 111 deals our very first year. I didn't know how to do real estate investing. I didn't know how to do any of it. What I was smart enough to do is copy somebody's blueprint that was already working. So maybe that's my blueprint. Maybe after you sit here through today, you say, you know what? I like what Jason and Rachel are doing. I want to operate off their blueprint. Fine, then do mine. If it's not mine, find someone else who is succeeding at this at a very high level. Not somebody who talks about it, somebody who's actually doing it. And get a hold of their blueprint, whatever it takes, whatever it takes. If you have to buy it, if you have to trade time for it, whatever you have to do, get a copy of their blueprint that they're executing, because that business plan is working. And you can spend the next 10 years and a whole lot of money trying to make your own business plan work, only to failure. 95% of new businesses fail within the first 5 years. 95%. We got to beat those odds. How do we beat those odds? We find someone else's recipe that's already working and we copy it, because we have a 95% chance that ours isn't going to work. Is that making sense to you guys? Say yeah. Okay. Number two thing that we need the ability to take massive action. We need the ability to take massive action. How many of you in here would say you're the more analytical type and you need to know step 7 before you even start step 1? It's half the room, so raise your hand if that's you. Okay? You guys are doomed, and so this whole thing probably is. I'm kidding. I'm just joking. My business partner, Rachel, very much like that. She's going to come up here in a minute and share, too. She's very much the analytical type. If you haven't been able to tell in the first 10 minutes, I'm definitely the jump out of the plane, build my wings on the way down guy. Call it what it is, right? Again, I'm aware of my weaknesses, okay? But because of that, I make decisions very quickly, and I can take action very fast. So I could learn a blueprint this weekend, and I could go on Monday and implement it, and not even worry about what's going to happen on step 7, because in my mind, why the hell would I worry about step 7 when I'm only on step 1? I need to do step 1 first. But in her mind, it's, I could never even start step 7 step 1 until I know how to do step 7, because step 7 is going to come. Somewhere in the middle, though, is probably the safe place to be. My point in this is, When I go and speak, and I speak in front of a couple hundred people, and they all hear the same message, and I'm giving them a blueprint of how to make $1 million in a year. I'm giving them a blueprint of how to change their life. A handful of people implement it, and their life changes. And the rest of the room doesn't. Why? Why? Fear, right? Fear stops us. Fear of failure, fear of rejection, fear of losing money, fear of doing the wrong thing, fear of making the wrong decision. This all creeps in, right? And so we have to condition ourselves. We have to condition ourselves to act even when we're scared, even when we don't feel like it, and especially for you super analytical people. You've got to have trust in the process. That's why it's important to be part of a mastermind, to be part of a coaching group. I'm not here to sell you guys coaching. I'm just saying it's important to be in an environment where other people are going the same direction and you have some accountability, because your natural instinct is going to be to push it off until tomorrow. What I have found being a coach is that I would rather take the person that has zero education, that knows absolutely nothing about real estate investing, but is willing to act, than the person who has been studying for 5 years but is nervous about taking action. Because the other guy who knows absolutely nothing will get results faster. Look at me. 111 deals my very first year. I know absolutely nothing about real estate investing. Absolutely nothing. Okay? What I knew was how to execute a blueprint. What I knew was how to show up and work. What I knew was how to do what I said I was going to do. And I got results that everyone else didn't get. Does that make sense? I'm not saying, hey, look at me. I'm just telling you the way that it is. And I'm telling you how to get results in your own life. Does that make sense? So the mass, we have to condition ourselves to take action even when we don't feel like it. Okay? Number three is a mentor or coach. Like I said, I'm not here to sell you guys mentoring or coaching. What I'm here to say is, look at anybody who succeeds at a very high level at anything. They all have a mentor or coach. There was an article in Business Journal that said people with a mentor and coach, on average, in the survey they did, earn 70% more than people who don't. 70% more. You can't argue with that stuff. Look at any professional athlete in the world. They've all had mentors or coaches, right? Look at Olympic, you know, people that are in the Olympics. They've had mentor or coaches since they were children. You don't get to the highest level of success on your own by stumbling around and trying to figure it out. It's just not how it works. We've got to put ourselves in an environment where there's accountability, where there's somebody that already had the answers. And when I left that 4-day short sale event, I hired that guy to be my mentor because I knew this. I already had these three things. Now, I didn't know how I was going to pay him because I was broke. But that first payment wasn't due for 30 days. And so I said to myself, I got 30 days to figure this out. I'm going to have to call the guy and say, hey, sorry, that payment's not going to go through. Luckily, I figured it out. But sometimes when we paint ourselves in a corner, do we not tend to show up for ourselves a little bit more? And guess what? You have accountability at your 9-to-5. You have a boss that's going to crack the whip if you don't do what you're supposed to do. Let me tell you, when you open up your own business and you don't have a coach or you don't have a mentor or you don't have an accountability group, none of that exists. So if you don't do what you're supposed to do, nothing happens. But something does happen. What really happens is it's another week of your life that's gone, where things didn't change. It's another week of your life that you could have been living life on your terms, but you're not. So the consequence really is bigger. We just can't see it, and since we can't see it, we don't change. Okay? There's a fourth. I know it says three, and there's four, and that's because I didn't realize the fourth one until it was too late. The fourth one is a written vision. A written vision. What do you really want your life to look like? What are you really trying to go after? What are you really trying to obtain? Because if you don't decide that, what you're going to do is you're going to build this business that runs your life. You're going to build this business that takes, ask me how I know. I've done it three times. When I was wiped out and I hired Sean to be my mentor, he kept wanting to tell me about this vision stuff in the very beginning of my coaching. And I'm like, no, man, you don't understand. I'm wiped out. I'm freaking homeless. I need to eat. I need to do deals. You can keep your hokey vision stuff, you know what I mean? Teach me how to do deals, how to make money. And he said, Jason, you know, you're going to put yourself right back in the same situation you were. And I'm like, sure, man, just teach me how to do it. And so what I did was I built this short sale. I closed 111 deals. That's real cool to say. But what I didn't tell you is I built another business that I was working 70 hours a week in. I built another business that I was sacrificing life. I built another business that was causing me to neglect everything that I actually really freaking cared about. And so when I got into that, I found myself that I wasn't happy. And, you know, I sat down with him and he said, hey, how are you liking this? I said, I'm freaking miserable, man. He said, why are you miserable? I said, I'm working 70 hours a week. I'm doing this thing and I don't even really like real estate investing. You know what I mean? I'm doing this because it's the thing that makes the most money and supposedly the least amount of time, but I'm trading 70 hours a week for it. We made $3.6 million our first year. That's really freaking cool to say. But I was a slave to that business. And he said, okay, what I want you to do is, what's the one part of that business that you really enjoy? And I said, well, I really enjoy the homeowner appointment. And he was like, all right, I want you to build it then in a way where you only do the homeowner appointment and your team does everything else. That way you can just do the part that you really enjoy and you don't feel like it's such an overwhelming burden. So for the next month, I transitioned to where all I did was the homeowner appointment. You guys with me on that? So I was running a homeowner appointment. I would do my first one at 8 a.m., 10 a.m., noon, 2, and 4 every single day. And I'd come back with four or five signed contracts, short sale files, and I'd turn them into Rachel. And after about a month of doing that, I sat back down with Sean. He's like, dude, you transition things. You're only doing the homeowner appointment. How are you feeling? And I thought my answer was going to be to him is I'm happy. I'm ecstatic. And what I said was, dude, I feel horrible, but I hate this too. I hate waking up every morning and knowing that I have an 8 o'clock and I have a 10 o'clock and it's so rigid. You know, some people are, if you study anything from Tony Robbins, he talks about the six human needs, and human need number one is certainty. And we all crave certainty to a certain degree, right? We have varying degrees, but we all crave certainty to a certain degree. The second one is uncertainty / variety. I am very much more of an uncertainty person, hence the jump out of the plane Bill Mowings on the way down thing. I am much more of an uncertainty variety person. So I've built this world where I have no variety, I have no uncertainty, and everything's going to be exactly the same every single day, and I was miserable. And he said, well, so what are you saying, that there's not a single part of this business that you like? And I'm like, that's why I'm freaking out, man, because I don't know. I feel like I've built this thing that I don't even like. And then it hit me for the first time in my adult life. You know, I'd been an entrepreneur by that point for 11 years. And it hit me for the first time in my life. What I really enjoy doing the most is the building and creating. I like taking nothing and turning it into something. I like the building and the making of it. I don't necessarily like operating it, running it, the day-to-day things. Now, some people do. Some people would absolutely hate the build and create it, right? Everyone's different. But what I realize is I love building and creating things, making something better, making something bigger. I like when a client comes to me and says, I'm closing 10 deals a month and I'm trying to get to 20. I'm all in. I'll figure that out. I'll dive all into that. You know what I mean? But I don't want to run that business on a day-to-day basis. Rachel and I just bought a 94-bed assisted living facility. I'll talk to you guys about it in a second. One of the coolest real estate deals that I've ever done in my life. That business has 80 employees. It's in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I live in St. Louis. We are the owner, operators, and runners of that. We control a 70% interest in that business. I don't go to work every day at that place. You know what we do? We committed to 2 hours per week of our life is what we're going to trade to run that business. We just got our first month net. We netted $85,000 net profit our very first month. I'm not saying, hey, look at me. I'm saying there's a smarter way. Okay, I'm saying there's a better way. 10 years ago, I couldn't have done that. 10 years ago, I didn't have the skill set. I didn't understand how. I didn't know the right way to do it. Now, we can. And so those are the types of things that I want to share with you. Those are the types of things that you can fast track and not have to spend the next 20 years like I did on how to figure it out. Does that make sense? All right. So I can kind of skip past a little bit of this. What I will tell you is that my very first job when I was 18 was at a collection agency. And I was going to school full-time and going to work full-time. Anybody in here ever done collections work? Raise your hand. Yeah, several of you. It's the worst job on the face of the earth. Unless you enjoy getting screamed at and cussed at for 8 hours a day, and then in which case you may like that. I wasn't really my thing. I didn't really like the atmosphere and the environment of that, but it paid good money. At 18 years old, I made $70,000 my very first year collecting bills for Discover and Citibank and all that kind of stuff. And so I'm going to college full time and I'm working full time, and I'm saying to myself, all my buddies are at Mizzou. They're spending $40,000 a year to get this 4-year degree. And when they graduate in 4 years from now, they're hoping that they're going to make half of what I was already making. And so as an 18-year-old kid with no real father figure or really good influence in my life, my decision was $70,000 a year is better than 40, and I don't have the college debt, and I don't have to spend the next 4 years of my life in school. I'm already ahead, right? Or at least that's what I thought. But I realized real quick, you know, I remember walking into that place every day, and it was an ocean of cubicles. An ocean of cubicles. You guys know them. It's called Big Call Center. And I remember seeing guys and gals that were 30 years old, 40 years old, 50 years old, 60 years old, some that were 70 years old. And I remember thinking to myself, I don't know why God put me on this earth, but it wasn't for this. It wasn't to spend the rest of my life in a cubicle collecting bills for Discover Card. That's not why he put me here. I believe that in my heart. I didn't know what it was, but I believed in my heart that that's why I wasn't here. And so it was really on my heart to figure out what that was, but I had no idea. And there was a guy who worked with me there that left, and he got into the mortgage business. And after his first year there, my boss and him, his name was Kevin Bosch, and my boss and him were really good friends. My boss came to me and he said, "You're never going to believe this. Kevin Bosch made $100,000 his first year in real estate, you know, doing home loans." And I'm like, "No kidding, Kevin Bosch." Now, he wasn't this guy that was this really good salesperson. He wasn't this guy that you thought was going to really just go out and crush it, right? But he did. But I didn't think much of it. That was pretty similar to what I was making. And it was, you know, people don't like change, and I didn't necessarily want to change. So I just kind of dismissed it and thought, good for him. The second year came around, and he came to me and said, "You're never going to believe this, dude. Remember Kevin Bosch?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "He's made almost $300,000 his second year in real estate." And I'm like, "No freaking way." I'm like, "Well, you set up a lunch." So we go to lunch, and I'm talking to Kevin, and I kind of call him on it. I'm like, "Man, I'm not saying you're a liar, but I can't believe that you've almost made $300,000. And he reached into his wallet, and he pulled out his pay stub, and he slid it across the table. And I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was like $286,000. It was October. And in that moment, I remember thinking to myself, helping somebody buy their first house sounds like a lot more fun than calling on delinquent Discover cards. And $300,000 a year is cooler than $100,000 a year. And so I called down to the state of Missouri, and I said, "Hey," to the Division of Finance, I said, "What does it take to open a mortgage company in Missouri?" And they said, "We'll send you the packet." And I'm like, "Cool." So they send me this packet in the mail, right? I mean, this is how this 19-year-old process went. So they sent me the packet in the mail, and I'm reading through all this stuff, and it's a lot of stuff. But it's a lot of knick-knacky stuff that can be done. It's a lot of paperwork. It's a lot of dumb stuff. There were two things on there out of the whole list that I did not have. One of them was $1 million surety bond, which sounded like a really impossible, crazy thing to me. And the other one was $50,000 in cash. That's all you needed to open a mortgage company in 2001. Drastically different today. That cash requirement's over $1 million today. It was $50,000 then. So what do I do at 19 years old? I decide, well, that's what I want to do. So I live like a hermit for the next year, and I save up every dime that I can, and I save up the $50,000. And come to find out, if you have a good credit score, $1 million surety bond only costs you a couple $1,000s a year. It's pretty easy to do as long as your credit's good. So I managed to accomplish both of those things, and on April 15th, 2001, that was my last day ever working for somebody ever at 21 years old, 2 weeks after my 21st birthday. And I opened that mortgage company from the spare bedroom of my condo. And what I didn't realize is I had spent so much time trying to figure out how to open the business and what it required, I had no idea how to actually do the business. As crazy as this sounds, my very first day that I had quit my job, I had no idea even how to take a loan application. The business that I just opened, I had zero idea how to do. And so I'm freaking out. It's 9:30 in the morning. I wake up and it's all hitting me. You don't have a job anymore. You don't have an income anymore. You can't pay your bills anymore. You can't pay your house payment. You can't pay your car payment. You have no idea what you're doing. You made a really stupid decision. Like, all this stuff is flooding in. And about that time, my doorbell rings. And it's this guy, Jason Job, who also worked with me at the collection agency. And I walk down. I'm like, "What the hell are you doing here, man?" And he goes, "I want to do this mortgage stuff with you, man. I quit. I quit my job." And I'm like, "Oh, my God. No, you didn't. You're gonna drive down there. You're gonna beg for your job back. I'll tell them I saw you on the side of the road and your car was broke down. Like, I don't have any money to pay you. This is really, really bad." And he proceeds to talk me into working for me. About an hour later, my doorbell rings again. It's this girl named Diane Lentz. Same freaking story. And so now, as if I'm not overwhelmed enough and stressed out enough, now all these people that were making really good money just quit their job. And I didn't tell them to. These people showed up on my doorstep. By 5 o'clock in the afternoon, there was 9 of us in the spare bedroom of my condo. Swear to God, Rachel has a picture of it. I've got an ironing board. We're running to Walmart getting a bunch of little $10 phones from Walmart. My buddy's drilling a hole in the exterior wall of my condo, fishing down phone lines because he knows how to splice them in to where we can have multiple phone lines at the same time. And we're calling all of our friends and family, asking them if they want to refinance. We have no idea what we're doing. We take a bunch of loan applications. We screw them all up. We make all these people mad because we have no clue what we're doing. Thank God that there's processors and underwriters to clean up our mess. And we closed 8 loans our very first month. And every single person agreed to forfeit their paycheck if we could go get an office. So we took the money from those paychecks. We got an office. And I learned early on, one of the very first things that I did was I realized I had no idea what I was doing. I'm guessing at this. There's got to be somebody smarter. I went to my first ever seminar I ended up, crazy as this is, I go out to Las Vegas, never been to a seminar before in my life, and I go to this real estate seminar, and I see a bunch of different speakers, and some speakers had spoken that day, some hadn't spoken yet. And I end up in an elevator with Stephen Covey, Greg Frost, who became one of my mentors, and Tony Robbins. And I have no idea who these people are. I have no idea who they are. I don't think they're anybody. And so I'm chatting them up like, this shit's funny, you know what I mean? And, hey, you know, do you guys know who's talking tomorrow? And I have no idea who these people are. And then the next day I see them on stage and I'm like, oh my God. I thought something was up though when I was going up to my room and the penthouse floor button was lit up, but it wasn't me that was going up there, you know what I mean? And they stayed on the elevator after I got off. So I thought something was up, but then I saw them for the next few days. But that was my first experience. I mean, Greg Frost had done, any of you guys in the mortgage business, you know who he is. He was the first guy to do $1 billion in home loans. And Rachel and I hired him right off the bat. He had a whole blueprint. He had a blueprint for how his underwriting department worked. He had a blueprint for how his loan officers worked. He had a blueprint for how he networked with agents. He had a blueprint for how his business marketed. Who am I to think that I'm smarter than a guy that's done $1 billion in home loans? And he charged like $2,000 for it. Does it not make sense to trade $2,000 for somebody's recipe that's been doing this for 40 years? Yes or no? Right? Of course it does. Of course it does. I buy as many recipes as I can so that I can implement them into my business. And so we grew our company. We went from a small company that wasn't doing anything to a company that was doing hundreds of loans a month. We were doing close to $20 million in annual revenue. I remember being 22 years old and going to the bank with $800,000 worth of title checks in my pocket at 22 years old, thinking I was God's gift to the world, thinking that I was as smart as could be. And I realized real quick that that wasn't the case. I didn't live beyond my means, but I did the things that our smart accountants and CPAs said to do. We financed stuff. I bought a house. I built a house. My driveway looked like a new car dealership. I was doing all the things that I was, you know, supposed to be doing now that I was making money. And I promise for anybody that thinks I'm bragging, the story's going to crash and burn here in a second. So hang on. It's coming for you, I promise. So we built it up big. We built it to close to 100 employees. We were the number one rural housing lender in the entire state of Missouri. I'm proud of that stuff, man. We worked hard. We grinded it out. I mean, we worked 70, 80 hours a week every single week, living this dream that if I worked really, really hard, someday I could have this life that I wanted to. And I was building towards that. We had millions of dollars in cash in the bank when the market shifted. And then 2007 came. And I came to work one day, and we had 9 do not fund requests from Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac saying that I couldn't fund loans. We had no idea why. Remember, there was no warning. How many of you guys experienced 2007? Like really experienced it. You know this. There was no warning. There was no heads up. There was no, this is coming. I came to work one day and the world started to fall apart. And we went from 100 employees down to about 10 employees in a 90-day period of time. We went from bringing in millions of dollars a month in revenue to losing money every month in revenue. We went from millions of dollars in income to losing $80,000, $90,000 a month every single month. Because guess what? All that shit that you finance when things were good, those payments don't stop when things go bad. They keep coming. And you got to keep paying for them. So it doesn't matter how much money you have if you're going the wrong way. And it took 2.5 years. 2.5 years we bled before I was wiped out. And October 2010, that's a real copy of my Chapter 7 bankruptcy, I was wiped out. I was forced to file. In Missouri, we have what's called a deficiency judgment. So if your house that you owe $1 million on sells at the foreclosure auction for $500,000, you still owe that other $500,000, even though you're never, ever going to live there again. So now I have a $500,000 deficiency judgment against me. And oh, yeah, guess what? By the way, this is the exact same time that the government says we should probably put some licensing requirements on these mortgage companies. We're going to come out with this thing called NMLS. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? Any loan officer has to have an NMLS license number. Well, in order to get an NMLS license number, you cannot be delinquent on a single bill. You can't have anything that's delinquent. Well, guess what? A deficiency judgment is a charge-off judgment, meaning that there's no way to bring it current unless you pay the balance in full. So I call down to the state of Missouri, and they say the only way we can issue you your license, even though you've already been in business for 10 years, the only way we can issue you your license is if you pay that $500,000. And I'm like, cool. Good thing that I've already called Flagstar Bank. I've already made a payment arrangement. I've got it in writing. I'm paying them $1,500 a month or whatever until I get back on my feet. Until I sold loans to Flagstar Bank that I have my mortgage with. I had a very good relationship with the high ups at Flagstar. They came into town once a month and took my whole office to dinner. And, like, I knew these people, and I wanted to do right by them. And they said, it doesn't matter. We don't care that you have a payment arrangement. It's a judgment, and the judgment has to be paid in full in order for you to get your license. I said, well, there's no way I can come up with $500,000. I just lost my house. I lost my cars. I'm basically homeless. There's no way I can come up with it. There has to be another option. He said, the only option is that you file bankruptcy. I said, let me get this right. I was raised in a world where you didn't pay bills late. I was raised in a world where you did what you said you were going to do. That's how I was brought up, good or bad. That's what was beat into me as a kid. So I have conflict with the fact that you're telling me that if I file Chapter 7 bankruptcy, I'm okay, but if I pay the people back, I'm not. Sounds crazy, right? He said, I didn't write the laws. That's just the way that it is. And so that was the boat that I was in. My cars got repossessed. Chapter 7 bankruptcy, a deficiency judgment. I was pretty much in the worst financial place that you could be. I was probably in the most worst emotional place that you could be. I probably, if I've ever gone through, I don't like to say the words and own it, but if there was ever a time where I felt depressed in my life, things were real bad. Things were real bad. I lost everything that I had ever worked for. I rented this crappy little $400 a month farmhouse out in the town that I grew up in that was infested with mice, and the only reason I rented that place is because the rent wasn't due for 30 days, and that was another situation where I thought, I guess I'll figure it out. I go from being a multimillionaire to wondering how I'm going to come up with $400 a month in rent. And I was too proud to ask anybody for help. I share that with you because I want to share with you where I was when I started my journey. I mean, I didn't black anything out. That's my social security number. That's all my real stuff on there. That's the crappy little farmhouse address that I rented. You can look up it on Google Earth. All this stuff is real. That very next year, Rachel and I flipped 111 houses, and we netted right at $3.6 million. You can clap. It's not bad, but it's a start, right? There's my real tax returns. I also didn't black anything out on them either. That's my tax ID number. That's all my real stuff. That one says 2.2. That one says 1.2. And the other one's 200 grand. I don't put it up there to brag. I put it up there to say 80% of success is psychological and 20% of it's mechanics. I decided that enough was enough. I decided that I was going to change. I decided that I want something different. I decided that I was going to take action. I decided that I was going to get Sean McCloskey's blueprint, and we were going to own it, and we were going to dominate it, and we were going to get ourselves out of the shitty mess that we had got ourselves into. You know what I'm saying? We made a decision. Thank you. Yeah. We made a decision that life was going to be different. And so that's what I'm trying to encourage you guys to do, is you have to make a decision that things are going to be different, and then you have to do those three things from the recipes. You have to get a recipe or blueprint. You've got to take massive action on it, and you've got to put yourself in an environment where there's accountability and where you're around somebody that's already accomplished what you're trying to accomplish. If you do those things, I promise you, if you don't give up or quit, you'll get the results. And there's plenty of people in this room that are current coaching clients of mine that will tell you that you can ask, that some of them that are from here. We've done 400 plus deals. We coach some of the top real estate investors in the country. Rachel and I have a hard money lending business that we've taken our profits and put them into. We pull over a 30% annual return from our hard money lending business. That's our retirement. You know, you don't get a retirement in this world, so you have to build your own. But when you start flipping houses and you start making profits, you can do those types of things. The coolest part about all this is that we do all of these things in less than 4 hours a day. We own 6 or 7 different companies right now, and we work 4 or 5 hours a day, probably 3 or 4 days a week. I am not here because I pay my bills by selling courses or training. Okay? That's not, some people come up and say, you know, if you're doing so well in real estate investing, why are you going around speaking? I get it. It's a fair question, right? I'll tell you why. Because I came from a crappy little farm town in Troy, Missouri with absolutely nothing, and I get to change people's lives for a living. And you know what? It's fun to make money. It's fun to do business. I enjoy all of it. But you know what I enjoy more than anything? Is when I come in this room and people that I haven't seen in a few years come up to me and said, hey, I took what you taught me and I paid my house off. I paid my cars off. My life changed. There's nothing more rewarding than that. You can believe it if you want. The people that know me know that I'm telling the truth. That is 1,000 times more rewarding than me flipping an apartment building and making $1 million. It's 1,000 times more rewarding because God didn't put me on this earth for that. I'm very clear on why I'm here. This gives me an opportunity to make a massive difference in people's lives, and we do it. Period, end of story. Look on our Facebook page, ask the people in this room. People's lives change, period, because of what God put through us. Not because of me. I'm not taking the credit for it. You guys did the work. I just held up the blueprint. I just held the accountable. I just showed you the way that I did it, and people model it, right? So I want all of that. that for you guys in the same thing. So let's talk about marketing to get deals. I don't want to be the only one talking. I want to bring my business partner, Rachel Schneider, up here. We're going to give her a round of applause.
Yeah. Thank you.
Rachel is...
I can't imagine you have anything else left to say.
What
right?
A jerk. Rachel is not my wife. Rachel is my business partner. We have worked together We've worked together for the last 21 years. We've been business partners for 10 years. You will find very few people that are more... She's closed somewhere in the neighborhood of 8,000 real estate transactions over the last 20 years, so you'll find very few people that have operated at that level that have done more real estate deals than her, and she's very much the systems, processes, engineer type mind. So we do good together, right? I get people to take action and move, and she helps you set the processes and organization and systems in place that you need. But I want to talk about let's get into the marketing stuff. Let's get into why they're here.
Absolutely. So talking about the top four strategies that are working the best right now, we are huge fans of direct to the seller. I don't need a third party situation. I don't need a list provider. I want to target people who have a high likelihood of having a need to sell a property. And so I want to dive right into all four of those because I want you guys to get as much as you possibly can out of that. But there's another piece. You can identify a marketing strategy that's really beneficial and works really well, but if you don't know how you should be communicating with them, what you should be saying, what is the messaging, you could have the perfect data source but mess it up, right? If you don't know how to reach out to them and if you don't know what to say. So what we did with the blueprint was put all of that together for you, and we're going to walk through all of that over the next hour as we go through it. So first thing I want to talk about is probate. Anybody in here not familiar with what probate is? Raise your hand. If you really don't know, it's okay. All right. So a little bit about probate, what it is in its simplest explanation. It's a court process by which a will is proven to be valid or invalid. Or if someone passes and they don't have a will, it will go through the probate courts, okay? Why do you think that this might be a good data source for a real estate investor? Right, it's a property that they inherited, yeah. Why else would this be good? They don't want it, it just got thrown on their lap. What would be other reasons that this would be good? Anne, yeah?
They inherited their parents' property or their sister's or brother's property. The house has all this furniture, all these memories, and they're just frozen with this huge burden emotionally. They just don't know what to do.
Yeah. They need the money. Yeah. We don't always inherit free and clear properties, right? And even if we do, there's still expenses, right? There's expenses when you own a home. What else might be going on with this property? Why wouldn't they all just list it on the MLS? Yeah. That's always fun too when you get the family that's not real happy. Too rough of a condition to even call a realtor. And if they did call a realtor, how many licensed agents do we have in this room? How many of you guys like to put houses on the MLS that need a new roof and the kitchen is from the 80s? And right, do those sell fast for you? I mean, in this market, everything sells. But, I mean, that's not your ideal property, right? Did you have one?
Mm-hmm. For the recipients of the estate to even do anything with it, so it's just a problem for them.
Absolutely, yeah. And snow has to be removed, grass has to be cut, all of those things still have to happen. So for many of them, it is a burden, and they have a need to sell the property, right? High likelihood they have a need to sell this property. I don't care if the roof needs to be replaced. I don't care if you leave the 30 years of stuff in this home that you don't want, that you don't have memories attached to. I'll take care of all of that for you, right? We don't care about those things as real estate investors, so we're great buyers for properties like this. what types of properties you'll find with probates, primarily single-family residents, right? That's going to be most of what this data will bring your way. So for those of you that have a focus on single-family residents, this is a great strategy for you because that's predominantly the types of properties that you'll be able to locate using this marketing strategy. So I want to talk a little bit about the marketing blueprint, but before I do that, before we started today, Deborah, where is Deborah at? I think she, yes, okay. So how many of you heard us speak last year, I think it was, virtually over Zoom? We did one of your RIAs, and Deborah came up to me and she said, I just wanted to thank you. I got a nugget when you guys spoke last year, and it helped me take down a deal that I had been working on for over a year, and she made a $30,000 profit on that probate, right? Am I telling your story right? Okay, so I don't want to mess that up. Okay, let's give Deborah a hand for a $30,000 flip, right? There's nothing wrong with that. The nugget that she got, who in here is currently marketing to probates right now? You're going to? Okay. So, the nugget she got was who to be marketing to with a probate. Many of us just go after, they're called different things, the executor, the personal representative, because that is the person that the courts have appointed or the will appointed to be in charge. And so we think that is the only person that can help us take down the probate deal, right? How many of you guys think that? We want to talk to the person that's in charge, right? I will talk to the gardener at a house. I don't care who it is. As a real estate investor, all I need is to make contact with someone that can get me access to that property. That's the nugget that she got. Reach out to every single heir. Just because the will said that they're the executor or the personal representative, they might live in Michigan, and the property's sitting here in Ohio, and there's two other heirs that live in the same city as where the property is. Who do you think is dealing with the burden of that property? Not the personal representative that's sitting in Michigan or lives an hour away. It's generally the person that's within close proximity to the actual property. That's what she did. She reached out to all of the heirs. She got an heir, I think, that lived in Michigan, which is where I got that state from for my example, and they got her into the house. She closed the deal that way. So you have to know who you should be marketing to as well. That is part of the blueprint. We let you know you locate that data, where you're going to find it, exactly who you should be marketing to, because that's what we have to become an expert at in real estate investing, is being a marketing expert. So our blueprints are...
I want to say, too, you know, Rachel and I consistently buy houses at 60% of after repair value minus repairs. And everybody says, well, you can't do that here. You can't do this in this market, or you can't do it even in the current market we're in. And my response is always, no, you can't, because you're competing against 17 other investors. I don't mean to be a jerk, but you're doing all the same stuff that everyone else is teaching. You're just simply relying on direct mail, which is what every investor in the face of the earth does. I'm not saying it's wrong or it doesn't work. I'm just saying you're putting yourself in a place where you're competing against 16 other investors. No wonder you can't buy at 60% of ARV minus repairs. You're in front of the wrong sellers. What we do and what we teach is, everybody in here has heard of probate before, but we market to probate in a different way than what you've ever been taught to market to probate. That's why we get in front of sellers that no one else has talked to, because she found the gardener who put her in touch with the seller who no other investor has talked to, and we get in front of that seller that no other investor has talked to. And you guys tell me, do you think we can buy houses cheaper if we're the only one competing, or if there's 16 other people competing? Which one? The only one, of course, right? It sounds dumb, but it's so true. How many of you guys in here get a little frustrated when you're going on a seller appointment that they tell you, okay, well, I'm sending everybody's coming over on Friday at 2, and I'm just going to take the highest and best. I'll go on that appointment, but I'm not super excited about it. We have made a business and an organization around finding sellers that our competition doesn't find. Yeah. And so that's what we want to give you.
That's what the blueprint is going to give you. And so multiple communication avenues, that's something that everyone really listened to this. So there are so many different courses. There are no shortages on how you should be doing your real estate investing business. But you have to make sure that you're not just relying on one way to communicate with people. You know, direct mail historically is the most popular thing that's that's pushed. And we just had coaching clients that pushed out 5,000 postcards, zero response.
Not a single response.
Not one single response.
Seasoned multimillionaire people that are real estate investors that have been doing this. These weren't rookies. They're big time investors.
Yes. And what you need to know about the multiple communication avenues is you can't just rely on one source, right? How many of you guys are the type of people that you have no unread text messages right now sitting in your phone? If we were to look, you would have zero, right? Raise your hand. Be proud of that. Okay. Some of you, how many of you are on phone calls? Someone calls you, you're either answering or you're taking the voicemail and you're calling them right back. Who is that? That you're on voicemail, you're paying attention, you don't have any, all right? What about Facebook Messenger? Who gets on their Messenger regularly and is checking and looking at that? Okay. How many of you guys check the mail every single day and go through it and open every single thing up? Raise your hands high, right? So I could keep going on and on, but it's different for everybody, right? We all prefer to be communicated generally by one or two different ways. Text message is the way for me. That's how I prefer. I know exactly what you want. I can say, hey, let's jump on a call, or I can give you a short answer. I can't stand email. I think it's extremely distracting, and I probably check Facebook Messenger once every 30 days, but some of you are looking at that every day. So we need to utilize all of those communication avenues to reach out to our sellers, right? We need to hit them in every way because I can't guess which way they're going to respond. I don't know if it's somebody like me who doesn't look at Messenger but once every 30 days, someone like Jason who I don't know if he even checks his mail, right? But we have no idea, and so I have to utilize.
If it makes you feel any better, I got 671 unread text messages.
There you go. So, yeah. Right?
That wasn't a made-up number. That was
so. That's why we want to use multiple communication avenues. We want to layer our communication outreach to them as well. Most people give up after just a few attempts, right? And we need to, I want to get to multiple attempts as fast as I possibly can. So I'm going to utilize every way I could possibly communicate with you and anyone that can get me in contact with you as well. Because that works best for my benefit. The messaging, saying the right thing on a voicemail, your letter saying the right thing, your Facebook message saying the right thing. You can utilize all those communication avenues, but if your voicemail says, hey, this is Rachel Schneider. I know that you inherited your mother's home. I work with JR Property Consultants, and I want to buy that house from you. Give me a call back when you can. How many callbacks am I getting from that?
Not many.
When it says, hey, it's Rachel, give me a call back when you can. I'll be around for probably the next hour or then later on this evening, 636-734-4327. Am I getting a call back?
Probably.
He's not calling me back, but the majority of this room is saying they will call me back. So there's a difference. Some people want the company name, they want this, but there are more people with the casual because they're like, Rachel, do I know her? Who is she? So knowing how to say the right thing is extremely important in your marketing. That messaging will be in that blueprint. A strong follow-up plan. You can never let go of a lead, right?
80% of sales happen after the fifth contact. That's a Harvard study, not a Jason Roberts study. 80% of sales happen after the fifth contact. 80% of salespeople give up after one. If you just pay attention to that, you'll make an extra couple hundred grand this year. 80% of sales happen after the fifth contact. 80% of salespeople give up after one. If you know the statistics and you know the numbers and you can tilt that stuff in your favor, you'll win by default, guys. Yep. This game doesn't have to be hard. We make it hard. It's not that hard. And you do the right thing.
And proper follow-up is me getting a hold of Karen and Karen saying, hey, we're going to rehab this house. How many of you guys are never going to reach back out to Karen again because she said they're going to rehab the house themselves? Show of hands. Who's not calling her back? It's okay. I'm calling Karen back because I know Karen's probably not rehabbing this house. It sounds good, but she thinks it costs $10,000, and really it's $35,000 to bring the home to fair market value condition. She also doesn't have all these contractors. She works a full-time job. Is she really going to manage these crews? You know how many people that's just their objective? When we call them, that's their objection, and they just say, we're going to rehab the house ourselves. all of those people should be followed up with. They will turn into deals for you over and over again.
I'll give you another number. 60% of your closings, if you're an active real estate investor, 60% of your closings will come from people who originally told you no. 60% of your closings will come from people who originally said, we're going to rehab it ourselves, or we're going to list it on the MLS, we don't need any help, or any of those no's. 60% more of your closings will come from people who originally told you no than the ones who told you yes right off the bat. You need to understand that, because if you don't have any automated, systemized follow-up going on, you're losing 60% of your business. But you paid for it. You paid for all those leads. You paid to create it. You're just not closing it. Someone else is closing it.
Yeah.
Someone who followed our blueprint is closing it.
So in breaking down this blueprint a little bit for you, you can see where we're utilizing as many angles as we possibly can to truly exhaust the data that we've spent the time to get, and in some situations we've actually paid for, but we're trying to increase our chances of actually making contact, because we don't get accepted offers if we're not having conversations, right? So how many of you guys are more like me and pretty analytical and wanting to understand? Okay.
Lots of hands.
All right. So then the rest of you are, you're just ready to go, right? You're ready to take off. We'll figure out the next. Yeah, we'll figure it out as we get to it, and then we'll work our way through it. And so that works both ways, but either way too far can be a little dangerous. If you're extremely analytical, it can paralyze you at times, and it'll keep you from taking action. If you're constantly conditioned to take action, sometimes you will make some pretty costly mistakes because you didn't go far enough in analyzing what was to come. And big thing for Jason and I, he talked a lot about... I clearly said it, huh? Guilty. But it's also really easy, regardless of whatever personality type that you are, that when you're starting something or adding something into your business, to get a little overwhelmed, right? It's nice to have some support to say, okay, this is how I read it when I opened up your probate module. This is what I think it's saying. Confirmation, am I understanding you right? Is that really what this should be happening? Or maybe I'm having a hard time finding my data. Do you have any tips for me? Do you have any tricks that can help me gain access to this? And we from day one have struggled with just saying, hey, here's a course, go, you're going to do great, even though we're as detailed as telling you how to fold your letter so it fits in the envelope size that we suggest that you use. But you need some accountability to make sure that you don't take something that you should have done in a day and you've drawn it out to a two-week process, right? So we're adding 4 weeks of implementation calls. First call is November 16th, so just in a couple of weeks. We're going to help you identify what marketing strategy you should be doing. Some of you are going to say, I'm really passionate. I want to do probate, or I want to do pre-foreclosure, but it may not be a fit for the time that you have to dedicate to it. It may not be where you should start, and we're going to help you determine which one is good for you. What's your marketing area? Who in here is not currently marketing? Like you're not currently marketing right now. That's okay. So you need to know where you're even going to market, right? Where should you be marketing? What counties are you going to target? What areas are you going to target? And then we need to find this data. How do we gain access to it? And once I get access to it, who am I marketing to? Like in Deborah's situation, that got her the deal. Understanding who she should be marketing to is key to this, because you can hammer on one person for a year and never make contact because it's not high on their priority list. It's out of sight, out of mind, or it's just something they're not worried about. Or maybe they don't check their voicemails, and so they never got any of her phone calls. That's very possible, right? This is to ensure that you take action and actually do something with the information, and you start on real estate investing. You know, so many people, whenever I say, you know, how many of you guys are just starting out, and then I ask the question, how long have you been thinking about it? How long have you desired to do this? It takes us a long time. This is going to force you to do it. So now I want to talk to you guys, and how to find missing information, because certain data resources will only give you a piece of what you need. We're going to show you how to fill the rest of that in, all right? And that's week one call. I don't want to do this case study. Whatever. We used her case study. Yep. So now we're going to talk about pre-foreclosures.
Yep. You want me to go?
I mean, I'm going to interrupt you a couple times. But that's all right.
That's what we do.
Pay attention to your timing. Jason, you have 5 minutes to get through this.
Oh, my God. That's never going to happen.
5 minutes.
Well, one thing I want you to say is I want everybody in this room to be on these 4 weeks of calls that we're going to do after this. Seriously, I want every single person in this room to be on this 4 weeks of calls. And here's why. When I first started speaking, I had no intention on ever speaking. I was in that coaching group I told you that I joined, it was also a mastermind. And so I was in this mastermind group with this guy named Eric Lundberg and this guy named Jason Wojo and all these people, and they own these things called RIAs. And I had never been to a RIA before. I closed 111 houses, never even heard of a RIA, ever. Never even knew what it was. And so they said, hey, will you come speak at Milwaukee RIA and teach our room how you did 111 houses? And I'm like, yeah, I guess, but I mean, I don't like to have a PowerPoint. I don't have a presentation. I'm just going to come and teach. So that's what I did. I went and I poured my heart out and I taught people how to do deals. And people liked it and they started to change and they started to get results. And so these RIAs started saying, hey, this is great, but we're a nonprofit and we have to, it costs money to do all this stuff. It costs money to put on these conventions. So we need you to sell a training. Would you be interested in doing a training and teaching people how to really do deals? And I said, yeah, I guess, but I don't have a training. And so I went to my mentor Sean and I said, hey, you've got the best short sale course that I've ever seen. Can I just sell yours? Cause I can't make it better. Yours is good. And he said, yeah. So I started going around teaching and I sold his product. And my reason behind that is what I realized real quick is that people were spending a couple thousand dollars on a course and none of them were doing anything. And you want to know why? And they were sitting it on their shelves. I'm not here to sell you guys a course. That's not what I want. What I want is results. What I want is you guys to actually do this business. And what we found is that when we can take people through 4 weeks of calls, you know what my average is? 70% of the people that participate in this 4 weeks of calls will have offers on properties within that 30-day period of time. It happens every time. I don't know another speaker that can claim that. I'm not putting other speakers down. I'm just simply saying we've worked really, really hard at that. I don't want to sell you a course that you pay money for and you sit on a shelf. I want you to get results. You know, it was really cool for me to say we've already made $8 million this year on real estate investing. Do you know that over 50% of that came from deals that we've partnered with people like you that are sitting in the room? Over 50% of that. And they made money on all that stuff, too. We've done two big apartment buildings, that 94-bed assisted living facility. All that was stuff that people like you brought to us. So my thought is, I can make a couple thousand dollars slinging courses, which I have absolutely zero interest to leave St. Louis and leave my family to do. Or I can teach you guys how to really do deals, how to really take stuff down. And a few of you are going to call me and say, hey, Jason, I just got this 28-bed apartment building in Toccoa, Georgia, and the purchase price is $575,000, and it's worth $2.5 million. Can you bring the money? And I say, absolutely, yes. I'm not going to force you to do that. But over $5 million that we will make into our bank account this year came from students that brought us deals that we partnered with. Pretty freaking cool, right? So I'd rather teach you how to do deals than be concerned with selling courses. So what I want to do is what we have found is that by taking people through 4 weeks of dedicated training, we get freaking awesome results. We get over 70% of the people on the call that have offers on properties within 30 days. That's what you want, right? That's what you're really here for. Yes or no, guys? Tell me.
Yes.
Yes or no? Yep. I mean, it's that. So that's the environment that we want to put you in. So that's why we do this. Okay, pre-foreclosure short sale. This is something that I think there's never been a better time in the last 10 years to learn this. That's where we got our start, was in pre-foreclosure short sale. That 111 deals that we did were all pre-foreclosure short sale, every single one of them. So I share that with you because this is the first time in 10 years that there's going to be a boom there. There are more people that are delinquent on FHA loans right now than there was in 2007 crash. Do you know that? More people delinquent now on FHA loans now than there was in the crash of 2007.
I think
that's
when I was on Vina's radio show, she quoted a word, 7 million. I mean, I was blown away.
So it's coming. And there's also been a two-year moratorium on evictions and foreclosures. So there's been 2 years that all the normal people who default haven't been able to be foreclosed on, much less we had a freaking pandemic and all kinds of people got delinquent. So those floodgates are open. It's already happened. We had a coaching student that told me this morning, our numbers are already up through the roof. It's already starting to happen. It's coming right now. And there are times when you are able to achieve massive wealth for the same amount of work that you would normally do in a normal year, but you make 10 times more money. That's what's going to happen in the pre-foreclosure space and the eviction space if you know how to do it, if you have a blueprint. Guarantee it, mark my words. We rode this wave in 2010 when it happened last time. Okay, so pre-foreclosure short sale is just somebody who is in a house that's facing foreclosure. Doesn't necessarily mean that they have to be upside down. A short sale means that they're upside down, but when we talk about pre-foreclosure, I cannot tell you how many leads that you will find, how many sellers that you will talk to that owe $80,000 on their house that's worth $160,000 and it's going to auction in 2 weeks. It's the craziest. Why didn't you just sell it? Why didn't you just sell it and make the money? Because when people are in stressful situations, they put their head in the sand and they pretend that it's not happening, right? Yes or no? That's what we do. And so that's how you end up 2 weeks away from auction. And guess what? They don't have time to put it on the MLS and sell it now. There's not enough time. And if it goes to auction, they're not going to get a dollar. So it puts us in a position where we can help them and we can help ourselves at the same time. Does that make sense? You with me on that? So that's what pre-foreclosure short sale is. Why do we market to those? These are some of my favorite deals that we've ever done. With the exception of multifamily and some of the bigger deals that we've done, these have been the most profitable deals that Rachel and I have done. 400-plus real estate flips. Every six-figure, $100,000 and up paycheck that we've gotten from real estate investing has come from pre-foreclosure short sale, with the exception of apartment buildings and multifamily and stuff like that. Every one of them. And we've done a lot of six-figure deals. And your guys' market here in Ohio is very similar to ours in St. Louis. Prices are very similar. Market's very similar. And so for us to make a $100,000 spread in St. Louis, Missouri, where the average sales price is $170,000, $180,000, is pretty freaking cool. So that means that you guys can do it too. These are some of the most profitable deals if you know how to do them right.
And selfishly, the profits are good, right? But there's such a bigger picture. You are truly helping these people. When they call Bank of America,
that's right.
That their option is a loan modification that the likelihood of them getting actually approved for is like winning a lottery. You know what I mean? That actually turning into a permanent 4%. Modification for them. The odds aren't in their favor. And if they do get that modification, it's anywhere from $50 to probably max $100 savings. If I got behind on my mortgage all because I was shy $100, would I likely be in foreclosure? Probably not, right? Like, maybe we'll turn off DirecTV at the house, cut the cable or something. Like, we can make some changes and make up $100. So it's probably not, even if they would get approved, it likely isn't going to benefit them or help them in any way. It becomes a much bigger deal than the profits, but the profits are amazing that come along with it as well. But you truly are helping people out of one of the scariest times in their life. I mean, put yourself in their situation.
What type of properties do we find? Again, with pre-foreclosure short sale, for the most part, we're finding single-family stuff. But, again, these are foreclosure auctions.
Yes.
So we can find apartment buildings. We can find retail commercial space. We can find predominantly what we're going to see is single-family, but we'll also find some other things. These, again, will be some of the biggest discount deals that you'll ever do. If you've never done a pre-foreclosure short sale or if you haven't done it right, this is some of the best ways to buy property discount. The other really cool part about this strategy that I love, and this is why we started with this, because we were broke. We were wiped out. We didn't rehab a single one of those 111 houses. We made that kind of money not even touching them. We didn't even touch them. And the reason why it was cool is because we didn't even really know how to do ARV. We didn't know how to estimate repairs.
We certainly didn't know how to run a rehab.
We certainly didn't know how to do any of that. But what we could do with pre-foreclosure short sale is the lender will tell us what we can buy it for before we have to close on it. And then I can market that house before I've ever had to close on it. So if Bank of America tells me, okay, fine, Jason, we'll sell you this house for $150,000, and I think it's worth $225,000. I can throw it out on the market at $225,000, and I've never even closed on it yet. And I can advertise that house at $225,000, and if I bring in a whole bunch of buyers and I get 5 contracts that very first day, I know it's worth $225,000. So now I'll go ahead and close on it at $150,000. But if I put it up at $225,000 and it's crickets, I know I made a mistake, right? And so now I can adjust. But guess what? I've never bought the house. So I don't have any risk. I don't even have any earnest money. We've bought 300 short sale houses. I've never given earnest money on a single one. You don't have to. So there's no money expense. There's no outgoing expense. There's none of that. That's why I think it's one of the cool strategies. All right, so our week two call is when we're going to start to really jump into, I told you guys you need a marketing blueprint. Our week two call, we're going to really start jumping into that blueprint. So again, remember, direct mail pulls a 1% response rate, if we're lucky. I have a friend that owns one of the biggest mail houses in the country, and she told me that direct mail response rate is down over 60% right now. Over 60% from 1%. It's already a 1% response rate. That means for every 100 letters that you mail out, you're going to get one phone call. If you implement what I'm teaching you, I will have your response rate to a minimum 10%. To a minimum of 10% if you implement this blueprint. I do it all over the country, and we never, ever have trouble achieving 10%. In a lot of markets, we'll pull 20, 30, 40% because no one else is doing what we teach. So is that pretty cool, guys? Yes or no? That means 10 times more leads. That means 10 times more closings, and it means 10 times more revenue. It means if your business right now is producing $100,000 a year net, that means it'll produce $1 million a year. That's pretty cool. I think that makes sense for your investment. But here's what some of this looks like. So we have a full campaign for ringless voicemail. We have a full campaign with Facebook messaging, not Facebook ads. Inbox Facebook messages. We have a full campaign for LinkedIn, an email campaign, a letter campaign, an outbound call campaign, and a text campaign. Not independently. We have all of this scripted out for you, what they say, when they go, how often they go, and we're going to help you automate all this because I know it sounds overwhelming, but we've already done all the work. You plug this in and you make this stuff go out while you're at your day job. But here's what's happening. Remember I said 80% of sales happen after the fifth contact? We're hitting these people from every possible angle. That's why we were able to do 111 deals our very first year in a market where everyone was doing short sales. Everyone in St. Louis was doing short sales because the guy that taught was from St. Louis. You guys know Sean's from St. Louis. Every boot camp he's ever done has been in St. Louis. We outdid everyone because we created a blueprint that no one else had. And you guys can do the exact same thing, but you've got to implement it and you've got to follow it. It's so important that you don't change the scripting. You don't change the words. We spent the last 21 years being marketers. I've literally spent tens of millions of dollars on marketing. Doesn't mean I'm the smartest guy in the world. It means that I've spent a lot of money to figure out what psychologically motivates people to respond and what doesn't. You can spend 10 years and a lot of money to figure that out, or you can buy someone's recipe. It doesn't even have to be mine. You can buy somebody's recipe that already gets a proven result. And what I'm telling you is if you implement the way that we have it structured, you'll pull a minimum 10% response rate, maybe more. And I don't know anyone else in the industry that can make a claim like that. And we do it consistently over and over and over again. And that will put you in front of sellers that the rest of your competition isn't in front of. You want to talk about eviction?
Yep, let's talk about eviction. So pretty simple, right? The expelling someone from a property for multiple different reasons why they may be up to get evicted. We have had it where they have been on hold for a little while, but we're seeing that release. We were a little delayed, like some of our counties around us were a little bit delayed in some of the releases of you actually being able to file for eviction. But I think where we're at right now, pretty much most people are open, and that's something that can happen. I want to talk about why we market to them. Be clear, we're marketing to the owner of that property, right? But why would someone who owns a property that has had to do an eviction, why would they be someone that would be valuable for us to market to? Yeah, and think loss of rent on a totally different level today than what we've ever probably really seen it, right? Yeah, if they had a mortgage on the property, they're in bad shape, right? Yep.
They probably have more than one house.
Yeah, they probably have more than one house because they don't have to sell me the property that they filed the eviction on. Maybe they love that property. Maybe they just did a bad job finding a tenant, or maybe that tenant truly just fell on hard times, right? Life happens. But most of them don't own just one. And how many landlords do you know that love every single rental they own? They're like, oh man, these are all great. Every one of them is amazing. Most people have got a couple properties that they would love for somebody to take off their hands. They would love to get rid of them, right? It doesn't mean they have to be your rental. You can do whatever you want with these properties. You can hold them and keep them as rentals. You can rehab them, put them on the market and sell them. You can wholesale them because he loves those types of properties. I mean, you have so many options of the things that you can do with this. This type of marketing will also get you to different types of deals besides just single family residents, right? Because evictions are filed on every property that has a tenant sitting in it that goes delinquent or has criminal activity or any of the reasons that you could be evicting somebody from it. But there are a ton of things. Jason and I unfortunately acquired a property that had started as a hard money loan and the guy didn't perform and we had to foreclose on him. Then after the foreclosure, we had to move into doing some evictions because we had some criminal activity. We would have sold that property in a heartbeat. We didn't get one piece
not one marketing,
of marketing.
Piece. Not one person in all of St. Louis marketed to us on that property.
No one reached out, and we would have sold it in a second just to be out from underneath it. We didn't want to do the rehab. We were busy doing other stuff. We travel all the time, but no one reached out about it. So these are great marketing resource for you, right? So what types of properties? I already kind of talked about that a little bit. So I want to talk about week three, November 30th, we'll be doing week three of those implementation calls, and we're going to get into the tools, the systems, and the automation. How many of you guys work a 9-to-5? You're not full-time real estate investing yet. So you need some help. Those of you that are, you still don't want to do all of this either. But if you have a virtual assistant, maybe some of you guys have a local assistant, but there are a lot of tools. There's a great software that's here right now that complements our blueprint beautifully, REI Black Book, right? It everything plugs in wonderfully with their system. We use them a lot. But there's ways to where you're not the one wearing all of these hats. Kind of when Jason was talking about those four secrets or three secrets, right, to success. And so tools, systems, and automation can be a game changer in your business. And I'm not talking about you spending thousands of dollars on it either. Very affordable things, options in every price range that you could have them in. Find hiring and training a virtual or a local assistant. Some of you guys are at that point that that's what you're in need of. I'd say anybody, a virtual assistant is something that you should have because
you're going to find yourself assigning $10 an hour tasks to yourself.
Yes.
And you're going to get overwhelmed. It's going to be too much. You're working a full-time job. You're going to come home and you're going to be pulling data on the county website for 3 hours and you're going to say, hell with this. Real estate investing
I'm
doesn't
not
work.
Do it.
This doesn't work for me. The reason why we're able to run the businesses that we run in 4 hours a day is because we're not doing that on anyone else's back. We're utilizing resources of people that are better and more efficient at things than us. And there are very inexpensive ways to do this. This is what I said about teaching you how to actually run a profitable business more than just teaching you how to do real estate. There are ways to get 80% of this work done very inexpensively and automated to where you don't have to do it and you can do the high payoff activities like talking to sellers and going on homeowner appointments.
Right, the things you should be focused on. And we'll get into the homeowner appointment, but we'll talk about call conversion training. The messaging being so important in your marketing, what you say when you talk to someone on the phone is equally as important. Making sure that you're more of a listener than you are a talker. We naturally try to get ourselves in these situations that we say all these great things about who we are and what we can do. They don't care. Not to be rude, they really don't care. What they want to do is be able to tell their story and talk to you about what their problem is. And your job as a real estate investor is to be a problem solver. And if you're too busy talking, you'll never hear what their problem really is. And so mastering being a listener and being able to overcome their objection before they even point blank give it to you is a skill set. Right? And then we'll talk about the homeowner appointment. We have an entire blueprint for this. We have been on hundreds of homeowner appointments. Yeah. And at a point, you start to say, now what worked on this one that didn't work on this one? What did I do different? And sometimes it's just the property. You don't want it. The numbers don't work. It's not in their best interest to sell the property to you. But there are some we go on that I am your best option. But why didn't I get it? What did I do or what didn't I do that kept me from being able to get this accepted offer?
That's my goal
every time. Leave every property that I go to with an accepted offer if I really want to buy that house. That's what we all want to do, right?
It is a psychological process. Edwin, I hate calling on you, man, but Edwin's a coaching student of mine, has been for a couple years. And Edwin he took this blueprint and he mastered the lead gen. Calls coming in, he was running appointments nonstop, and on our coaching calls he was saying, dude, you were going on what, 3-to-5 homeowner appointments a week? And you're like, but but nobody's accepted my offer. And you and I worked on that. You did the work, but you and I worked on that. And he was going on a ton of appointments, but nobody was accepting his offer. And what I was trying to convey to him is it's a psychological process. There's something in your head that reason why they're not accepting. There's something going on with them. We need to overcome that. And you worked on that, and you got better and better every single time, and you mastered it. And now when you go on homeowner appointments, there's a very good chance that you come back with a signed contract, and you do when you're closing deals and you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. For those of you guys that are local to here, he's a good guy to partner up with and to know. But I say that because there's a psychological process around the homeowner appointment, and we spent a lot of time to perfect that. You need to follow our process and our system if you want the highest possible chance of them accepting your contract.
How many of you guys would benefit from being able to have a live call like that, where you could ask your questions, where you could get feedback on this is what I said or this is what I did, what was it right? How many of you guys? Would that be a benefit for you? I know I've been in real estate investing for a long time. The one thing I love about this business is I always learn something new. Always. And I know that if I can get one nugget from being on someone's training for 6 weeks or 10 weeks, going to their 3-day boot camp, whatever it is, it will pay for itself over and over and over again in my business, because there's always something for you to learn. Anything that you can take and implement it into your business, it's a puzzle piece, right? And if I can increase a little bit here and increase a little bit here and increase a little bit here, collectively we've made major progress in that area.
Jason, well, we live in a world where you get one nugget that causes you to close one extra deal a year, and that's $30,000. You know, I mean, it's not peanuts. We live in a world where our average transaction size is 30 grand. All right, I'm going to talk about local banks. What'd you say? I'm going to talk about local banks real quick. This is a strategy that one of our coaching students developed, not us, and it happened on accident. I coach this guy named Doug, who lives in this really small town in the middle of nowhere, Iowa. And when Doug saw me, I think he saw me speak in D.C. He was at another group's meeting in Washington, D.C., where Rachel and I spoke. And he came up and he said, hey, I own a generational farming business, you know, big, thousands of acres. They do a lot of farming. And he said, you know, at certain points of the year, we have close to $1 million in cash that sits. And then in the spring or whatever, when we go to plant, all of that money goes back out in seed and cost, and then we pray that the crops come back in right, that the prices are good, and then all the money comes back in. But we've got a ton of cash that's sitting, and I don't know that I want to farm forever. I don't know that I want to take this over and do this forever. But what I do know is that I want to do something smart with that money while it's sitting. I don't want to do real estate investing. I said, okay. One of the first things I ask when somebody wants to hire me is, what are their expectations? What are you trying to accomplish? Because if they have expectations that I don't feel confident that I can deliver, then I don't want to take their money because I don't need it and I don't want the headache, right? I mean, I don't want somebody that says, I want to make $2 million my first year and I'm going to work an hour a week and I don't have any resources. I'm not your guy. You know what I mean? I don't want to have the conversation. So what he said was, I want to close 5 to 7 deals a month. And I said, okay, cool. I know I can do that. I've got guys that are doing 20, 30 transactions a month. I know I can hit 5 to 7. My next question is, what's your population? Because that tells me how much data there is. And as long as there's enough data, I can predict what we can get you to closing-wise. Then he tells me. Then I realize he lives in the middle of nowhere, Iowa. And he said, well, probably within an hour radius, I might have 5,000 people. I'm thinking, oh, my God, I've got $1.5 million, and I live in a small market in St. Louis. You know what I mean? He's got 5,000 people, and he said, Walmart's an hour away, and it's not because of traffic. it's because Walmart's an hour away. So all of that being said, he developed this strategy where we were able to find inventory at local banks, not big banks, not your Bank of America, Chase, or Wells Fargo. I'm talking about these small local banks, and I'll show you how to find them, and I'll show you how to network with them. But they have inventory of houses that aren't on the MLS, that aren't REO, that are absolutely obtainable. He bought 72 houses over the next 18 months with this strategy. He came to St. Louis. We turned it into a market strategy. He bought 72 houses in the middle of nowhere, Iowa. A lot of our students still use this to this day, and this is going to be a good one over the next couple of years because banks are going to be taking back a lot of assets. So if you pay attention and you learn how to do this, this can be a game changer. What type of assets? This, again, you're going to find everything. You're going to find apartment buildings. You're going to find single-family stuff. You're going to find commercial real estate. You're going to find anything that a bank may have loaned on, and that's why this is another cool strategy that they may be willing to get rid of. So our week 4 implementation call is where we're going to really get into getting the offer accepted. How do we present the contract to the homeowner in a way that they want to accept it? We're going to talk about deal due diligence. How do we know if this is really a smart deal for us to do or not? And I guess the most important part of all of this is that we're going to be doing this with you guys in real time. You can read as many freaking books as you want on how to swim, but until you jump in the water, You don't learn how to swim. And so my goal is not to educate you to death. My goal is to push you in the water and be there to hold your hand so you don't drown and teach you how to swim in real time. So the reason why we do this in 4 weeks is because week one, we're getting you to get your marketing out. Week two, responses are coming in. You're having some homeowner calls. I'm guiding you guys through that process. I'm helping you become better at converting them to appointments. Week three, you're going on appointments. You're making offers. You're freaking out. You don't even know if you're doing a good deal. I'm going to help you analyze those deals in real time. We'll make sure that they're smart. We'll make sure that they're safe. If they're good deals, we'll loan on them. I mean, that's an insurance policy for you. So we're walking through this process with you in real time, as opposed to saying, here's this training, good freaking luck, hope you figure it out on your own, because I know that that doesn't happen. So we're also going to get into key metrics on this call. This is one of the most important things that we do with our existing coaching students. We ask our coaching students to post their metrics to us on a weekly basis. What that means is, I want to know, column one, how much marketing did you push out last week? Column two, how much inbound response did you get? Column three, out of the inbound response that you get, how many appointments did you set? Column four, out of the appointments that you set, how many offers did you make? Column five, out of the offers that you made, how many did you get accepted? Column six, out of the ones you got accepted, how many did you take to closing? Okay? I've done this before, not my first rodeo. What I learn with those metrics is where your business is breaking down, and I can fix it in real time. So you never have to throw your hands up in the air and say real estate investing doesn't work. I'm going to ask you for your metrics, and you're going to tell me I had 20 inbound calls and I set zero appointments. I instantly know where the problem is. You need help on call conversion. You don't need help on your marketing. You don't need help finding your data. You need help on call conversion. You need to be better at the sales process. But you will be apt to throw your hands up in the air and say, real estate investing doesn't work. I don't want that to happen. I want you to solve your problems. I want you to get the results that you want, and I want you to be able to wake up every morning like I do, where I don't owe a single dime to anybody on the face of this earth. And I get to do what I want to do when I want to do it, and I have real freedom. I have real freedom to do what I want to do when I want to do it. I'm here because I want to be, not because I have to be. So I want to show you that. Sarah, do you have... I want to kind of talk to you guys about what this 4 weeks looks like, and I want to talk to you about how we do that. So we have an entire home study course. You guys, I'm sure you're familiar with that stuff, but I want to talk to you a little bit about what that home study course looks like. So it's four modules. It's probate, it's pre-foreclosure short sales, essentially four courses in one. It's probate, pre-foreclosure short sale, local banks, and the eviction module. Thank you very much. So it's that entire process from start to finish. Our DVDs that walk you through everything, and so we tried to compile this in a way. I mean, this breaks it down step by step of exactly what you need to do in each one of these modules. And in addition to that, it's showing you what you need to do on a daily, weekly basis, all the way down to how you fold the envelope to put it in there. We've tried to answer every single question. I wanted to make this the best training that was on the market, period. And what I realized is this by itself is great, and people like courses and they like training, but too often this ends up on the shelf and we don't implement it. And so that's why we added the 4 weeks of training calls, and we've been doing this for years. And like I said, our response rate, our conversion rate, is 70% of the people that are on this call will have offers on properties within 30 days. If you really want to do this business, I don't believe there's any better place for you to put your time or put your money. And I say that with a guarantee that if you go through this process and it's not what I say it is, if it's not the best real estate training that you've ever been through, period, end of story, in your entire life, I will personally refund 100% of what you paid for it, every dime. But here's the caveat. Is that fair or yes or no, guys? Yes? Here's the caveat, though. You've got to show up. You got to be on the calls. You got to do what I tell you to do. You can't just no show on your own life and expect to get the results and say, Jason, this didn't work. Fair enough. But if you show up and you do what I teach you guys to do and you don't get the results that you're supposed to get, I'll refund your money 100%. That's not what this is for me. I want to put you in an environment where you really do deals, because odds are, one of you are going to call me to fund that deal for you. One of you are going to call me about an apartment building that you can't take down on your own. One of you are going to call me about an assisted living facility that makes $100,000 a month. Do you know that we bought that place for $40,000 a bed, and the current market, it's worth $120,000 a bed? We paid $4.1 million for that place. I could sell it today for $11 million. The day we bought it. That's the kind of stuff that's out there. That's it. And that was brought to me by a student of mine. That wasn't a deal I found. And that student got 30% of that deal, and I put up, Rachel and I put up 100% of the money. That student did not put up a dime, and they own 30% of that overall project. Not a bad gig, huh? Pretty fair to them, yep. It's a whole lot better than a $20,000 referral fee. They're getting $20,000 a month every single month for their 30%, more than that. And our profit numbers are only going to go up. We're going to turn that 100 beds into 200 beds over the next year. Watch. So I want to put you guys in that environment where you can win. The price of that training is $1,497. For those of you guys, most of you guys in here are my coaching students. You know that we have always sold this for how much? 1997. We've always sold this for $2,000 by itself. It's $2,000 on my website. Chris paid $2,000 for it when he saw me speak years ago. We've always charged $1,000 a ticket to our boot camp, and we would probably charge something similar to $5,000 or $6,000 for that 4-week jumpstart training. You get all three of those things, and you get two tickets to our next 3-day boot camp. Whichever one you can attend. We have one in December, and then we'll do another one in 3 months. You can attend it whenever you want. So you get the whole home study course, you get 4 weeks of implementation training, and you get two tickets to our next upcoming boot camp for $1,497. Fair deal, huh? Yeah, right? The boot camp's in St. Louis, and it's in December, and I'll get you guys the dates. If you can't make it, a gentleman told me that he already purchased this while he was here, and he was going to come to the next one. So if you can't make it, that's fine. What I want you to show up for is the 4 weeks of implementation training. To me, that's what you're paying for. This course is great. The boot camp is great. But what I like to pay for is results. And I want to put myself in a situation where I have a high probability chance of getting results. How many of you guys would be ecstatic to participate in this 4 weeks of training if it was totally free? Raise your hand, be honest. Raise your hand. How many of you are not going to raise your hand no matter what question I ask the rest of it? Kidding. So what I want you guys to do is, this is a chance for you to invest in yourself. This is a chance for life to change. It's $1,500 that I'm going to give you back if it's not what I said it was going to be. Fair enough? So I want every single one of you, I want you guys to sign up for this. I want you to buy it. This isn't how I pay my bills. This is how I change lives. And this is how lives change. So you got to decide, are you important enough to change? Because I will put you in an environment where that change happens. I will put you in a world where you'll get results. I will show up for my part, and so will my team, and so will Rachel. We will deliver 110% of what we said we're going to deliver. If you're ready to do that part, then I want you to go back, and I want you to take advantage of this. And here's what I want to do. I am a big rewarder of people that take action. So for the first 5 people, I know some of you have already signed up, so you're already going to get it, even though you already signed up. The first 5 people that take advantage of this, I am going to do a private training for my personal coaching students on how we bought and took down that 94-bed assisted living facility and how we're generating $100,000 a month in net cash flow and how you could do the same thing. I'm going to do a private training for my coaching students. For the first 5 people that they go back to the room and sign up for this, I'm going to give you access to that training, which will probably sell for $1,000 by itself. I'm also going to give you access to a private training I'm doing for my students on how we've made several $1 million net this year on the multifamily apartment buildings that we've bought and other markets around the country. For those of you guys that are interested in that, we've made several $1 million in my bank account from not in potential equity. And I'll do it for, there's a lot of people already back there. I will do it for the first 10 people since there's almost 10 of you back there. But those are the words that we're going to. Thank you guys so much. I want you guys all on the call, so I hope you participate. I hope you learn something. God bless you guys. Thank you for your time, and I'll be in the back to answer any questions that I can, okay?